Well, in keeping with,
I think, the spirit of this weekend and the thoughts about it being in, what day do they call it?
Memorial Day.
So we're thinking about people that have been involved in serving their countries in the military forces. And many young men were shocked having taken that oath and entering into that way of life that was not something that they were accustomed to. And it's still going on. I know from my own experience, not long after out of high school, and most of us had gone on to school and World War II began, many of those fellows, they gave their life. I recall a number of boyhood friends that they died during World War II. My own brother was very seriously injured in the Battle of the Bulge. So wartime is a time of heartbreak and sorrow. Each time I view the television and I hear that two more Marines were killed, I tell you, it saddens my heart because I know there's somebody back home. There's a wife, there's children, there's a mother, there's a father. And there's going to be some aching hearts. And I think it's so appropriate that right now, perhaps we just have a moment or two of quietness, praying that very soon that our nation will become disinvolved with some of the things that are causing all of this heartache and sorrow. Someone has said war is hell, and when you are a part of it, and all the things that result out of warfare, it's a horrible experience. So let's just bow and remember, especially our service people, families that have already suffered their loss. Let's have just a few moments of quietness. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we think in these moments in which our hearts are bowed before Thee, that there are many sorrowing hearts across this land of ours. Our nation is involved in warfare. Young men and women are giving their lives every day. Oh Lord, we pray, it be Thy will. Bring about a peaceful solution to this matter that is causing so much heartache and sorrow. Give to our leaders of our land, give them that wisdom that comes from Thyself, that they might provide leadership that will indeed bring an end to this hostility. We pray for each one of them that divine guidance and help that You can provide at a time like this, that they will have that divine guidance and help. They will seek that divine guidance and help. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. With all of that in mind, my own mind turned to some thoughts about military people. And, you know, you take an oath that you will stand in harm's way in defense of your country. And maybe the seriousness of that doesn't settle in upon the mind and the heart of a young person. You probably don't give it much thought. But then, when you are thrust into the heat of a battle and you are where warfare is taking place, then it seems to settle in upon you
someone I knew got killed yesterday, or someone I got knew got killed today. And it begins to make you aware that you're involved in something that you never really realized the seriousness of it until you were involved with it. You talked to some of the fellows that were involved in, we called them foot soldiers. Those guys that were slogging it out on the battlefield. You ask one of them what it's like. And they can give you an earful of how it feels to have your life on the line every day. Well, you know, I'm going to take that and use it as something that I think is an analogy to what we experience. Young people sing that little song, "I'm in the Army of the Lord." You remember that one? I'm going to read for us, and I'll ask you to turn to, if you will, Luke's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'd like to deal with the subject to some extent of discipleship. You hear this, and I've heard it in ministry, that some people think the day they were converted and the day they came to faith in Christ, that was it. That was all there was to it. Just getting saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. And there was an air of thrill and happiness and joy in the soul. But you know, we soon found out as we began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, brother, that's just a starting point. That's just a starting point. Being born again and brought into the family of God, you certainly wouldn't say that the day someone had a natural birth, you wouldn't say, well, that's it. That's all there is to it. Oh, but there's a life to be lived. There are decisions to be made. And certainly as believers, we begin to discover that decision to trust and become a member of the family of God carried with it a lot of responsibility. You know, we've read in the scriptures and discovered that many of those that penned these words that we have by inspiration, they referred to themselves as bond slaves of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we were purchased at a price out of the slave market of sin. We were under that domination and control of the God of this world. He was a hard taskmaster. Man, he drives you hard. He keeps you on a short leash, so to speak. Now we've been freed to enter into this new life, new freedom and liberty that we have in the Lord. We need to take that verse seriously, learning how to handle that freedom that we think we have. And I have met so many people that really their whole concept of salvation is just getting saved. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. How much progress have you made? How much spiritual growth has taken place? Have you assumed any responsibility that God expects of you? God has high expectations of every one of us. And certainly we have the information that's needed. The plan and purposes of God are clearly laid out in this book, and every one of us has a copy of it. So I'll say this, brother. I don't have any excuse. I don't have any excuse. You don't have any excuse either. You don't have any excuse for not facing up to that responsibility that's ours. Let's read these verses in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 21. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And if you will, well-known passage, turn to Romans chapter 12. And certainly it introduces us to some thoughts concerning God's expectations of every one of us as believers. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, natural birth is a wonderful experience. We just rejoice when we have new natural births and families are growing and young people are introduced into the family circle. And suddenly, among God's people, it's a time for rejoicing when there are people that are coming to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Would to God we would see more of it happening in our midst. I have a brother in the Lord, a friend, and he said, Well, brother, if you want to see more of it happening, get busy and do something. Quit sitting on your hands and saying, you folks need to get out and witness for the Lord. Be a good example. Go out and tell others about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know and I know, when we were first introduced into the family of God as newborn babes in Christ, we didn't know much about what was lying ahead of us. And what was expected of us. I know I didn't. I didn't. You're so happy and rejoicing over this new life you have in Christ. You probably didn't have the slightest notion of what God had planned and purposed for you. But He had a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And I do pray to God that we, each one of us, will find that plan and purpose and carry it out to the letter. You know, some people treat the spiritual birth and life with an air of less importance almost than anything that happens to us in the course of life. It can be handled so casual, and it does not carry with it any of the seriousness that is associated with Memorial Day. Ask a young man that is just a woman that's just entered the military forces, and they're beginning to learn some things. They're beginning to acquaint themselves more and more with what military life is all about. And you know, they have to measure up to those expectations. There are certain standards. There are things that are set before them, and you may not like it, but you better do it. If you don't, you're going to pay a price for it. I'm thinking that maybe many of us pay a price for not being more than we could be for God. Sometimes if we meditate upon these things and we think about what I could have been for God, had I been more serious in my approach to being a true disciple for our Lord Jesus Christ. I read this passage in Romans because I think it fully endows a presentation of your own body. You're making a living sacrifice. What you are capable of producing for God, He wants to see it in our lives. You know, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's where every believer, every one of us is going to stand there one day. I don't know if that's going to be private or public. I'm not sure of that. Many think that it'll be a private thing, and if they feel that way, I think it's because they don't want to be embarrassed over having fallen so far short of what God expected from us. At any rate, we will know, won't we? We say, I'm not sure about that right now. I'm not sure what God would have me to do. We will know then, won't we? We'll know then. When I read about all those things that people have put so much value upon, and it may have been something in which they were involved in some sphere of service, at least they thought that it was important. They devoted a lot of time to it, a lot of effort, a lot of expense was involved, and they discover that it wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't what God put value upon. And we read about a fire there. We read about things that are very perishable. And they were consumed in a moment of time. All those things that were valued so much here had no value there. God never did have any, place any value upon it. But we thought that we were doing something for the glory of God. But thank God there will be something. God forbid that we won't have anything that will stand up in the presence of our Lord, who makes that judgment call on our lives and what we've done, and whether we were really true disciples or not. I'll tell you, that one statement, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Not hard to do, is it? We know better than that. I'll tell you, you face self. You say, no, you're not going to have that. No, you want it, and you've been told that you even deserve it, and everybody else is getting it, so why shouldn't you get it? And you say, as you think upon God's will, no, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. I think that's what's involved in true discipleship. Denying self, because, believe me, brother and sister in Christ, self will take anything you give to it. Anytime you yield to self, oh, that's nice. That's nice. I like that. Keep on. Keep on giving, giving, giving. Has a tremendous appetite for just wanting things that are appealing to the flesh. Well, Paul kind of sums this up in this statement that he leaves us with. Paul did so much in providing us with things that are of such great value. This book of Romans, I remember studying and reading Brother Harry Ironside, the Roman road, as we were acquainted with that, and sailing with Paul, and all of those things that brought us into contact with a message that was ever so important to every one of us. And you take the book of Romans and you're acquainted with the depravity of all mankind. Paul brings that before us. And you know, you may think, well, these were the elementary things and I needed to know that. But no, brother and sister in Christ, we still need to know that. The depravity of man, the total depravity. You know, as natural men and women, totally depraved, unfit for the presence of God. Yeah, we still need to be reminded of that. And we need to teach and preach that to people that are interested in spiritual things. Justification by faith. Do you remember the first time that got a hold on you? Justified by faith, made righteous and fit for the presence of God. Something that I never realized before. I'm fit for the very presence of God. The holy atmosphere of heaven. I can enter there. And I can feel comfortable there because the judgment of God has already fallen upon my sacrifice for my sin. I'm justified. I'm made fit for the presence of God. The righteousness of God has been put to my account. You savor the sweetness of all of this and what it means to you, and you rejoice in it. That's what Paul gives us as he writes in these epistles like Romans that we have before us, and that's all important. What about sanctification? You know, that's one that sometimes we shy away from. Being sanctified. Brother, that just simply means being set apart from evil and set apart to God. That's just what we're supposed to do. That brings into play what Paul has said, present your bodies. Present your bodies, brethren, by the mercies of God, through the loving kindness and mercy and grace of God. Don't take advantage of God's grace and mercy. You ever done it? You ever done it? If you're sitting in that pew and you're still alive, I'll tell you, you have, even if you don't recognize it. Yes, we've all taken advantage of His loving kindness and mercy. God forbid us from ever doing such a thing, but we do it. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, a sanctified life. A life that hates what God hates. We hate sin. And we make doubly sure that we avoid all contacts with anything that would defile us and make us unfit for the presence of God. I want to live the way God wants me to live. You see, Paul is focusing on this because he said, for me to live is Christ. That man's life was changed so radically. And just think about it. He was a very, very religious person. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I've said this about him. He could make you feel uncomfortable because of his dedication, his loyalty to the cause of Christ. But I'll guarantee you this, he would not compromise with you over issues. If he knew it was the mind and the will of God, forget it. No change. No compromise. Let's talk this over and let's see what we can come in up with in the way of a mutual agreement. There is no such. The will of God was all important to the Apostle Paul. Well, he had, in this letter that we have before us, the book of Romans, it's God at work and the actions of God in bringing about such blessing to us. It tells us about the love of God and the mercy of God. How He wants to be glorified in our lives. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ glorified God in every step of His life. Every action of the Lord Jesus Christ glorified God. I just happen to believe that indeed, and I know that that's what God wants to see in our life. He wants to see glory brought to His name through His children, the family of God. And even those in the world that will not respond and will not agree with God as to His plans and purposes for blessing mankind. He's highly exalted, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that represented Him perfectly and always did His will. The very name of Jesus, just think about it, may not do it now. Many people resist this. Many people are just revolt at the very thought of even bowing the knee to this person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we are reminded that God expects from us, and He will expect from every person that has ever lived upon the earth, a confession of Him as God. We'll bow the knee, we'll worship Him, all to the glory of God. Now, may I just suggest that God has those same expectations from us? That indeed, as we live our lives here, other people are convinced that we are completely dedicated to living our lives for the glory of God. I think it's all important that we consider these things. They may sometimes, as we listen to them, sound like, well, you're just sermonizing. You're just saying these words to kind of tickle our ears, perhaps. Maybe it's just a reminder of something that is beyond our reach. It's fanciful. Don't think so. I don't think so. If it wasn't true, and if it couldn't be a reality in our lives, I don't believe it'd be in this book. I don't believe it'd be in the Word of God. It comes as such a challenge. We say, life has no challenges for me. Oh, it doesn't? Man, you better read the book again. You better reacquaint yourself with some of the things. You must have been just skimming over those sections like what we're talking about tonight. True discipleship. A denial of self. True disciples, they value their relationship and service for God even above the love and devotion they have for family members. Someone has said the hard words in that passage in which we are reminded of what true discipleship is all about is that, again, we deny self and deny self and deny self. I think it means complete submission to the Lordship of Christ. I have to say it because I don't know. I believe if I had to give up week by week coming to remember the Lord, my life would be miserable. I don't believe I wouldn't want to live, I don't think. It's just, you come with your baskets filled, hopefully prepared to offer to the Lord something, but I tell you what, seems like I always get more back than I bring. So people that take it so casual and say, well, I don't think it's that important. I do it once in a while, once a month, once a year. I know the scripture says as often, from the first day of the week, believers gather together to remember the Lord. I think to have that confirmation in my own soul that what Christ asked me to do, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And there again, I'm not always satisfied with my condition of heart and soul when I gather to remember Him, but I just can't stay away. I can't stay away. And you know, if you want to get for yourself a name, and it's not intended to be something that ordinarily you would prize, but people sometimes will say, you're just a bread breaker, a bread breaker. No, man, you're talking about the broken body and shed blood of my Savior. And He asked me to do that, and I'm going to do it. As long as I can find two or three to gather together, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. God forbid that there would ever come a time when we wouldn't be doing that. Upon the first day of the week, we gathered together to remember the Lord. I'll say this again. I feel like we gain a lot more from coming and remembering the Lord than we bring and offer to Him. And I thank God for every believer that comes with a basket full and they pour it out at His feet and say, Lord, here's my worship, here's my praise, here's my thanksgiving to You for what You did for me. Seems so simple. This last part of this presentation, incidentally, of our bodies, to present our bodies, it has to be a spirit-led exercise of heart. You know, to realize, what am I doing? What am I doing? Here I am, I'm laying my life, what I have now, my physical body and what I'm capable, I'm laying that all at His disposal. You know, then it begins to grip you. I'm just going to say these words, but how will I ever put this into action? Well, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, believe me, He'll help you. He'll guide and direct you so that you will carry out your commitment. Again, the Apostle Paul says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That's an electrifying statement to me, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Man, that sobers you up. I'm going to function in a way that the will of God will be carried out perfectly in my life. It's not me. It's Him working in and through me. It's giving of ourselves a presentation. You say, is it something you just do one time? No, I think it's something that we'll have to do just about every day we live, because you know how we are. You know how we are. You know how sometimes our feelings fluctuate. You know that sometimes we're not tomorrow like we were today, and we know. We know more about ourselves than sometimes we're willing to admit. And we know how we feel, and these actions are not to the glory of God. But God is well pleased when we make that commitment. That's to be spirit-led and to be spirit-filled and be yielded. That's what being presenting your body is all about. Yielded! I'm yielded to that commitment that I want to make to You, Lord. I don't want to hold back anything. I'm not holding back anything. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Now what I say is, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Use me. I want to be used. I want to be what You want me to be. Man, that's a long ways beyond that day that you first trusted Christ, isn't it? You didn't have any idea that it was going to be that serious. You didn't know that you would ever be called upon to make that kind of commitment. Because you thought really when you got saved, if you feel like I did, all my problems are solved. Boy, it's going to be just a primrose path from here on to glory. I'm going to heaven one day, and I'm prepared to go to heaven, and I'm happy about that. And all these things that we've been introduced to by Paul and others that have written these words in the Word of God. Oh, man, it carried us far beyond all of our expectations that God had of us as believers. I think Paul knew one of the sources of presenting problems for believers was certainly the world, the flesh, and the devil. He says, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed. And you've heard this expression over and over. This old world, with its changing fashions. The world just constantly in a state of change.
to have every one of us pressed into that same kind of attitude that so many in the world have that don't know the Lord, but they would like to have believers conform to a lifestyle, an attitude of heart toward the things of God. We live in a world today where snide remarks are made about those that are evangelicals, people that are Christians. We're treated as if we were the enemy. That's right. There are many places in the world today, if it wasn't for those Christians and all those things that they try to impose upon others, their way of life, and worship and praise to their God, if they weren't here, things would be a lot better. That's the way the world feels about you, but don't let this world press you into that mold and make you like the world. Think of all the things that have been adopted in just the last, well, say 100 years. 100 years. If someone stepped in upon the scene that was here 100 years ago and they reviewed for that person things that had changed. What? What? I know. And I've heard this expression, and I don't mind using it. We're just about shockproof, aren't we? Can't be shocked anymore. If you hear about things that are being adopted as a acceptable lifestyle by people in the world today, I'm no longer shocked by that. There would have been a day and time when you'd say, no way, no way, no way, no way. Oh, but the world says, yes, it's going to be that way. And it is going to be that way. And there is going to be change. And you don't like it. And you don't approve of it. But more than likely, it'll happen anyway. But God is very emphatic. He says, do not be conformed to the lifestyle and the fashion of this world. If you do, you're out of the will of God. That's why it's so serious if you begin to make compromise and concession to those things that are in the world. Somebody asks you about something, brother and sister, have the courage to stand up and say, no, that's not right. I read my Bible and I know what the Word of God says. It says, don't do that. It says, that's wrong. It says that God hates that. No, I don't approve of that. I don't approve of that. And I think there's an accompanying price that's going to be paid by anybody that adopts that lifestyle or lets this world press it into that fashion, that mold that is so characteristic of the world. Get on over the book. Open it up. Read it. And say out loud, O Spirit of God, lead me into truth that I'm reading in this book. Refresh my mind. Focus my mind upon the will of God. And I want that will to be accomplished in my life. I want to see it fulfilled in a way that it is for the glory of God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We just spent this little time tonight, and you've listened to me go into these things. It all started with thinking about Memorial Day. No harm in checking up, brother, sister, and see just where we stand as far as a commitment to God. How far are we willing to advance for the glory of God? Do you have a point up there where I'm not going beyond that point? If I do, people will think I'm crazy. No, dare to be a Daniel. I don't care if they throw me in the lion's den. I'm going. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to be steadfast for my God. And that's what it's all about. What started as a decision to become a member of the family of God. No, at that point in time, we probably had not the slightest idea of what it was going to be like. But, oh, what we've learned in all these years. How far have we advanced? Good old Peter said, look, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
and the wisdom of the knowledge of God. Limitless. You don't know how to make a proper judgment about the things of God, His love and His mercy and His grace and all that He wants to achieve in that divine plan and purpose He had for this world and for you and for me. But He loves us and we're special. And one day we're going to be with Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again tonight for the time spent together. These thoughts that have come to us from the Word of God, O Lord, help us to enlarge upon them. Help us, we pray Thee, Lord, to say that's what I want for my life, that good, that perfect will of God. I want to be obedient to every truth that I've ever read and been able to understand in the Word of God. Give us the courage to take that stand. We know that it's supplied by the power and the strength of God through the Spirit of God that guides us according to the truth in this book. We can truly glorify Thee, and we thank Thee for it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.